다타르지에 텐데 다타르지 넘어온데라 텐데야 부르
All of phenomena are manifestations of various connections. And all of these connections are happening in the present. So we should make sure to form good connections here in the present.
So, and as Rinpoche has wished before, he all asks us to give rise to Bodhicitta, the Supreme Mind directed towards enlightenment.
Tene khasang gayan tru namja chu imani khasang ngobi tonda chu yukon kye sembare tere tanda devu tonda sele chitonda.
So Rinpoche continues his explanation of the Chulama Mahayana Uttara Tantra Shastra, and in that on the fourth chapter, which where the Buddha nature is presented under 10 topics, and of those Rinpoche has yesterday explained what is to be understood by the essence and the cause, and he will now continue today with the next two points, which are the fruit and the function.
Tele tango devu tang leje tung tumong de temba me.
And out of these, then with the following verse, fruit and function are explained together.
Tanda de tang ta ni ji yun ten par simba de. Doma yin jong ke to ba dun ta mumba leje no shi sabo.
The fruit is the perfection of the qualities, purity, self, happiness, and permanence, weariness of suffering, longing to attain peace, and devotion towards this aim are the function.
Da Tambatam deva tamba tam takpa tamba ni ji yin ten de yin ten ye par de semba de devi cheba.
So the absolute expense, or in other words, the absolute truth, the Buddha nature, has four qualities, and these are called, one can say, true purity, true self, true happiness, and true permanence. And these qualities are ultimately perfected, and these, therefore, this is described as the fruit. And Rinpoche will explain at a later stage what is to be understood by these four qualities. And the function of this absolute nature that every sentient being has within is that weariness with suffering arises, that, so to speak, disgust with all this suffering arises, and that the wish arises to attain peace and happiness, which is nirvana. So that is the function. And the fact that we, or all sentient beings, are afraid of the suffering in samsara and do not like it, and have the strong wish to reach freedom from this suffering, that is actually a sign that Buddha nature is present within all beings. If this was not the case, this kind of longing and this kind of disgust with samsara would not arise.
Tele tambo thobsa devi don la sabje devata na sabje sum ya pale pa sa sinje lo poncho ne de sa de na dot do no chu ju ko la sinje lo namba yele do pa yin bi rap to seva ni hi sa so.
So now the fruit is explained in a bit more detail and in three parts. And the first is the description in which way everything that is wrong or incorrect or does not correspond to truth is to be given up in order to attain the fruit. And this verse reads, shortly speaking, the fruit of these purifying causes is fully divided into the remedies for the antidotes, which in their turn counteract the four aspects of wrong beliefs with regard to the Dharmakaya. What is understood by this is that the ordinary beings, which can also called in terms of their lack of understanding, the children, then they hold four wrong beliefs with regard to the Dharmakaya, in that they cling to, or they are have a fixation to purity, to the existence of a self, to happiness, and to permanence. And so in order to reverse these wrong beliefs, then in the Sravaka tradition, one meditates as an antidote against this kind of fixation or belief. One meditates on impurity of the body, on the absence or non-existence of a self, on suffering of samsara, and on impermanence. But then again, this does not totally correspond to the ultimate fruit. And then though there are four remedies again against these antidotes used by the Sravakas, and these bring about the perfected qualities of the fruit. And then the next section describes the way in which the fourfold fruit is attained by abandoning these four wrong beliefs. The next verse is then, this Dharmakaya is purity, since it is by nature pure, and since even the remaining imprints have been eliminated. It is true self, since the conceptual elaboration in terms of self and non-self has been completely pacified. It is happiness, since even the skandhas, which are of a mental nature and their causes, have been reversed. It is permanent, since samsara and nirvana have been realized to be the same. It's possible that this is not in your text, but I just kind of have to regret this very much. I quite obviously, when copying the verses out into a different file, I made a mistake. So that will be corrected. And so to put this into a logical argument, and that is the first, which says that the Dharmakaya of the Buddha is the perfection of purity. And there are two reasons. So Rinpoche said, given the Dharmakaya of the Buddha, it is the perfection of purity, since on one hand, it has the general characteristic of being by nature utterly pure since beginningless time, since the very beginning, and then since there is a specific characteristic in that all the adventitious stains, along with all the karmic imprints, have been totally removed or eliminated. And so to put that simply, Rinpoche said, so on one hand, the Dharmakaya of the Buddha has always been totally, utterly pure, and has gained a second type of purity in that all the adventitious stains which covered it are totally eliminated, and for these two reasons, it is the perfection of purity.
Te jumse kanyi nyana, sepje nelo derhi nyingbu, nyingbu teni, lower trima sepe kapso takpa nyeten ji chukare, takpa nyete, derhi nyingbu, sepje nelo derhi nyingbu teni, teni, ngu yeni nambar takpa re, ngu yeni nambar takpa, yeni trima meba, trima lepa magyokwa, tangbu ni, Mula chung tsan ni mepa yinba tsena rangin chi nabar tapa re. Tene nyebe topje lovun trupe trima sepa kapso lovun trata ke sanje tapa re. Ti jumchen la tente de kapso tsuo te takpa nye tente ki. Takpa nye tante yinba tsena tsama re, tsopa tsan.
So, at the time, when the way the mind truly exists, or the nature of the mind, or the Tathagata Gama, the Buddha nature, has been totally purified from all the adventitious stains, from all pollution, from everything that is not pure, then at that time it is called the Dharmakaya of the Buddha, in that there is twofold purity. So the nature of the mind as such is, since beginningless time, it is totally pure and never touched by any stain or pollution. But it has been covered by adventitious stains, which had to be removed. And when this process is totally completed, then a second type of purity is achieved in terms of total purification. And so Dharmakaya is to be understood as the nature of the mind when it has these two types of purity. And then it is also said to have the quality of the perfection of purity or utter purity, since there is not the slightest fault or the slightest stain left.
Tinante kapso tsang ma tsang nilin deba la tsang ma tambi yun tenji parut sigiri. Dikten parpe la parpa la tsang zin yuri. Nintu je tsang zin te nyembo lu ma tsang pa gomari. Tene tanda nelok dekhi nyingpo te tsang ma tsang pa thalin deba re. Deba chuko ngondu churpa kapso ten takpa nyidan tenpa sena tsang ma tsang kin thalin deba teni thar simba ngondu churpa re.
And so when one says that the Dharmakaya constitutes the perfection of purity, this means that it is beyond both purity and impurity. So ordinary beings cling or are fixated to purity, to the concept of purity. This is reversed. This kind of fixation is reversed by the antidote applied by the Shravakas, meditating on the impurity of the body. But then the true nature of the mind, when it is revealed or manifest, is totally beyond any concept of purity or impurity, and in so far it is the perfection of purity.
Danye pa da da dami trupa da nyevari kheve tambe da ote kheve.
So then Rinpoche will explain the second two lines which are not there, so it's read once again. This is, it is true self. Since the conceptual elaboration in terms of self and non-self has been completely pacified.
Tene tangbu te kapso tene rangin taksa tene sire te te tanda chujin ren debu chujiko tenpare te tene se chute nipala jago tene chujin se chute debu chujiko tene chujin. Da tambe yun ten je paru de simba yin te da dan zimbe trupa tang da me paran zimbe trupa nika nyevari hivase.
So to put this into a logical argument, one can say the fruit which is the Dharmakaya of the Buddha is the perfection of true self, since both the conceptual elaboration in terms of the belief in the existence of the self and the conceptual elaboration in terms of the belief in the non-existence of a self have been completely pacified. So to put that easy, then one can say all the many different adherents to non-Buddhist schools, so there are many who hold the belief in the true existence of a self and are fixated to this concept, and this is reversed by the Sravakas, by trying to understand the non-existence of a self, but then again, the adherents of the Sravaka tradition believe in the non-existence of a self and have the fixation to that concept. And so then in the Mahayana tradition, one holds the view that actual state is totally beyond both these conceptual elaborations, either holding the belief of a self or being fixated to the idea a self does not exist. And in that, then the fruit in the Mahayana tradition is viewed as being the perfection of true self.
Tene mete banam je tambe da khelenge re de kap sa tambe da de khakhe ke tambe da ke thik tan tene che pare samre che pa mare de kap sa da ta dami je trupa nyevar cheve da ta dami trupa ta nyevar cheve tambe da se da ta da me pe trupa nyevar cheba la cheba la tambe da ke tani temba te ya bo ha ko ko.
And so Rinpoche says, in this context, some Tirthikas, whatever you want to say, non-Buddhist philosophers, they use this term, true self, to denote an actually existing self. And so the term would be the same. But when in this context it is spoken of true self, then what is meant is that this is a state in which the conceptual elaboration or the concept of an existing self and the concept of the non-existence of a self both have been totally, completely pacified. And that is then called true self. So the similarity or the of terms, one should not think this is the same, that is different. And those who speak of true self in terms of the existence of a self believe that there is a self which is permanent, which is independent, and self-powered, maybe one can say.
Yang savapu yinba sepapu mayinba sekendo. Savapu sijite dat in the yon long kyopapu re sagre. Ina yang sepapu mare. Date. Savapu.
Savapu de.
Long kyopapu.
Experiences.
Oh. The yon long kyopapu re. Savapu re sepapu mare. Sepate dene hendulola konjo keling re. Sepapu mare. Savapu re.
And so there also is a belief in the Hindu tradition, I think, from which you said that there's the belief in a self which, so to speak, experiences, if I've understood that rightly, experiences the sense objects, but would not be, so to speak, something which does things. Is that right?
Creates
things, yes.
Srirpe da chechu sumte nga din la soba de jiso oman jo pa la tsab tsik yore tsatsik di ting ni jiso ki gini sarpo so.
How many?
Oman jo pa chechu sumte da nga din tsam tsam chechu sum tsam tsam nga ki gini. dante kande yore. Pakpa chekpa rawa chen sumte rawa. Chechu som yoba, chechu nga yoba. Tendu shikare. Te oman jopa la long tang yore. Te tsikye, tsikye danyambo jisu shikye na sarpo yore.
And Rinpoche says, so at a later stage, he will explain in more detail what kinds of belief in a self there are. This is explained in detail in the Umala Jukpa and Madhyamaka-vatara. And so then he will explain it by means of this text. So there are a self in terms of three features, five features, and so forth.
Ini korang so Hindu keling itu so ker dah kende keling itu konso ya puah aku sarpuah aku, arve.
Naso Chandrakirti reva.
Reva.
So then the author of this text is Chandrakirti, and he has used many. He's made. He's refuted these Hindu beliefs very clearly. What? Because he was what? He was an Indian himself.
Jagabare, 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 Jagabare,
Jagabare,
Jagabare, Jagabare.
So he knew their language and was able to kind of talk with them and refute all this very well.
Yejarangi Pumbo Tan Tejo Loksar Devayin. Tan Dekabsa Deva Tambe Paratasa.
So the next two lines of this verse, and I read them a bit slowly, are, it is happiness, since even the skandhas, which are of a mental nature, and their causes have been reversed.
Sama tamba kapsa tene se jiti tse te makur kukure. Tene chuchin. Te karare chuko deva sanje chuchukore. Tene chuchin. Deva sanje chuchukko tene chuchin. Deva tamba yuente je parata simba yinde yeje rang yinchen je pungpo tam. Kunjong tata pambe di jo Marek Pakya Jesai Nyomobatam Sakpa Mepe Le Tamje Lojen Sebesel.
And so, if this is put into a logical argument, then given the fruit, the Dharmakaya of the Buddha, it is true happiness, since even the very subtle skandhas. In terms of a body, of a mental nature, have been completely reversed, and that now these skandhas are due to what is called the mental poisons, which consist of the remaining imprints of ignorance, very subtle kind of impurities. And which lead to this kind of skandha of a body which is of a mental nature. And so also these kind of impurities have been totally abandoned or reversed, and therefore the Dharmakaya is the perfection of true happiness. And to put this very short, Rinpoche said, then since in this state all the afflictions, all the mental poisons, along with all the karmic imprints of these mental poisons have been totally exhausted and are totally gone, then for that reason the Dharmakaya is said to be the perfection of happiness.
Tini nyumong tang le maze na nyumong tang le yo na nyumong ke wang ke chan chan tebo yung kare te si chibu yore cham chan te nyam do kare nyumong ke wang ke deva lan jorwa so kare le je wang ke jorwa so kare sakye je deva yo na yang tini deva tamba yo mara.
And of course then when there are no more afflictions or mental poisons, which are the causes of karma, then also there is no more karma. And Rinpoche said, as long as there's karma and the mental poisons, then there is no true happiness to experience. Sometimes one experiences happiness, this will easily change into its contrary, and it will always change, it will not be stable. So as long as this normal happiness, which is accompanied by pollution, is experienced, this is not true or real happiness. If we look on ourselves, which he said, if we are in a state where the body does have no discomfort, where our mind is happy, where we are not we are not exposed to any enemy, we're just surrounded by friends, so we're feeling quite happy, then just a moment later some anger could come up and everything is finished in a second. And as long as we have this kind of mind that experiences happiness, which is flawed by pollution, so that, for example, even when we are happy, we would still kind of seeing somebody else having a bit more, give rise to jealousy and similar things, there will be no true happiness. And the same is true when one is filled with great pride and does not have respect for other beings, then one's happiness will quickly deteriorate, no? What? Oh, like that. Oh yeah, that way it makes more sense, yeah. And one is not enough respected by other beings, then one's happiness will quickly deteriorate. And so there, in many ways, this can be shown that this kind of happiness flawed by pollution and not, which is not pure, then will easily kind of go down.
Yeah.
And then again, on top of that, although this happiness as such is not so great, then we tend to have this belief in its true existence and we have the clinging to this happiness and want to keep it. And since then out of that there comes the strong fear and apprehension of it, of this happiness, that this happiness could change and go away. So in short, the root of happiness going away or deteriorating or getting lost is the clinging to the existence of a self or the belief in the existence of a self. Another way how happiness is so changeable is that what you said, as long as there is this clinging, then maybe a person has acted in a virtuous way and has collected virtuous karma, and therefore, and later on has done unvirtuous or evil things, then such a person may be born as a human being and for some time in his or her life have no physical illness and happiness of mind and everything is nice. But then when the fruit of this positive deeds or action is, so to speak, has been used up, has been experienced, then the fruit of the negative action will come up and all this happiness will change.
Rich people, poor people.
It can often be seen, which is said, that somebody is at one point in his or her life very rich and then loses all the riches and gets very poor. And that would be the fact that first there has been the experience of virtuous action and later the experience of the contrary. And the other is way around is also true. Somebody can be born in very poor conditions and have a lot of difficulties and later get rich. Then this would be due to first experiencing the fruit of negative actions and later the fruit of positive actions. Of having being poor then would be the fruit of not having been generous to other people and having stolen their wealth.
Then in Disneyland.
Disneyland?
Yes.
Oh, he himself,
huh?
And a good example is also Walt Disney, who was very poor in his youth, which is a sign that formerly he was not generous with others. Then later, due to his talents in drawing, he got very rich due to the fact that later, after his stinginess, he was generous with people. And this kind of connection of karma in terms of action and result, there are very many examples. I think what Rinpoche said is a bit again that somebody may be very poor first, which is a sign, or very rich, sorry, which is a sign that he was generous and helped other beings, and then later loses whatever he has and gets poor. Which is then the sign of the fruit coming up of having stolen wealth or taking what belongs to others.
Lepa leka nika la ra le par le la ra le par leka jam ne leka ya bu yong te le la ra le par nika la ra le par leka ja leka te ya bu yong supozo to ba te yang le la ra le par leka zo ya te ya le la ra le par
so there are two views on the causes for poverty and richness, and Rinpoche says some believe that this depends on the work one does, and Buddhists would say this is dependent upon karma. Of course, it also depends a bit on the work one does, but then again, what kind of work one acquires and how well one is able to do it is again, so to speak, due to karma.
Tene rang lomba yenda ganto sona te karase te yang le la ra le ma je wa nga ma lomba lomba rang lo lomba ko
lomba
ve lomba thwa na yang je wa sa ma thu ve ma che ke lomba yenda ganto na kar re kun jo ke che pa re jo me pa che me pa re kar re se na te le re je wa nga ma lomba thwa na che de re yang yenda ganto ve ha ko so ma lomba
The same is true for the country one lives in. So if or one's what do you say? Yeah, it's true for the country one lives in. If one has to leave it, so that is also true due to karma.
Then in number two, some not dying the rangel lumba the yenda gatona. Oh, jewa ngamang empa to yere.
And Ramuchi said, so some Buddhist people who had to leave their country, had to flee from their country, then they think, oh, this is my karma, this is due to the fact that formerly I have forsaken my father.
And that
this does not ripen in the future anymore.
Kova tāne nyangīnde nyamba nyedo tōksar tā, ādi kāpsu tākpa tāmba hiru.
And the last two lines then explain the fourth quality, which is permanence. And they say it is permanence in samsara and nirvana have been realized to be the same.
Tīndeva tēn kova, kova tēn nōte vēduwa, nōyam. Tang Korva Tani Yang in the Yambani to talk serrity, talk cherry, the tainted. Ta, Grosare. Chuching the longer than my job, the tenet chuching. Talk about number you in danger part of the Simba Yinde. Conte Yambani to talk.
And so to put this into a logical argument, then. The commentary just says this refers to the fruit, the Dharmakaya of the Buddha. It is the perfection of true permanence since samsara and nirvana have been realized to be the same, or the equality of samsara and nirvana has been realized.
Sanji Chujuko Tini Takwa Tamba Paru to Simbatemar.
Put it the other way round. Due to the fact that the equality of samsara and nirvana has been realized, then the Dharmakaya of the Buddha, which is the fruit, can be said to be the perfection of permanence.
Yati Tsiki Tichiransu Chindunda.
So, well, they can't, they...
Tendo. 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 Tendo
So the third one is describes describes the way in which through the attainment of the fruit one is liberated from the two extremes. So this verse is there again in your paper.
Daksi malu hirati jete dad sepa dad hemba dad chakpati
that discriminative wisdom has cut all self-cherishing without exception, yet cherishing beings, those of compassionate love, will not attain the state of mere peace. Thus relying on understanding and compassionate love, the means to enlightenment, the noble ones will neither abide in samsara nor in a limited nirvana. So, since someone who has reached the Bodhisattva levels, or in other words, a noble one, has totally abandoned all the clinging or cherishing or attachment, which consists of taking the skandhas or one's own body, what one is as a self, together with all the latent tendencies of that kind of fixation or belief, they've abandoned that totally by means of their discriminative wisdom, and then due to that they do not fall into the extreme of existence, as is true for beings dominated by great desire. In Tibetan this is called a Duchenpa, someone of great desire. So one calls beings like that who do not have the slightest disgust with samsara, who are not and who do not strive for, wish for liberation, and who think that this existence is, so to speak, a state of happiness and is desirable. If one enjoys the sense pleasures, but at the same time knows or understands that they are insubstantial like dream appearances, then one is not someone dominated by great desire. And that is a bit different. So in the tradition, the Slovaka tradition, for example, one would of course experience the sense pleasures but not enjoy them too much, but rather kind of see that they're in fact suffering and dinner. And one understands that they actually constitute suffering and that they are impermanent and do not truly exist, and so one does not, that in that way one tries not to enjoy the sense pleasures too much and gives up the attachment
to them.
And in the Mahayana tradition, then one experiences the pleasures of the senses or agreeable sense objects in the light of the understanding that they are like an illusion or like a dream appearance. Or again, which is said in the Mahayana tradition, one, so to speak, experiences sense objects or tries to do that on the basis of the understanding or the vision of the two absences of self, of both individual and phenomena. So like one tries to experience his agreeable sense objects in the light of the understanding that the one, the experiencer, does not exist in terms of a self, that is the absence of self of an individual, and that also the objects to be experienced do not exist as a self, but are empty in that they do not exist as a self. That's the absence of a self of phenomena. And then one tries to experience this in the light of this understanding of twofold absence of self. So, and also there are differences also. Lomuchi said, so if one, in the Shravaka tradition, and especially if one is a monk or a nun, it would not be correct to accept gifts of silver, gold, or a diamond, or similar things, because it is viewed that if such a person accepts these things, then it will just serve their virtue going down, so to speak. But then in the Mahayana tradition, if one is offered these kind of precious things, then it is good to accept them. Since on one hand, if one refuses, one will make the one who gives that gift unhappy. And on the other hand, taking these precious things, then they can be used and should be used as well to fulfill the benefit of other beings, do good things with it, as for example, taking gold and making such a wonderful stupa.
Sanje che saman dupe wang koro re tene yariye kanta zo seta ngota rambo che na zog zu tene tenra wo mene zu rupa java re tene rambo che yariye kanta zo rambo che na zog zu tene rupa java cho re re
and so for example which he said King Indrabudi. So I think the Buddha gave him the empowerment of Dinavankari.
Ah, Guhyasama.
Guhyasamaja. And at that time, Indrabodhi was able to, in actual fact, I think, create these palaces, divine palaces of the deities with all these riches. Yeah? And offered it.
Tendra wo te tene gyarpo ma to zo to go mare jo yariye kanda so rambu chi ke se ta ngor so go zo na tene gyarpo ma to zo to se dorje tepe lo la tene ta chinko la so ba tam je rambu chi na so go zo go re rang tan zin so ya mare
tendra
wo long chichu.
And then in the Vajrayana tradition, so if one is able to create all these wonderful palaces and all these riches and beautiful things, then it is not, that is a way of kind of offering and doing this without creating any attachment. And in this way, there are differences as to the views of the followers of the three vehicles. And on the basis of these differences in view, there are also different types of practice. But
in this laiko tinen kollo dencho dorje mo tujo kolli chin kor zona do chin pa chag mare do yon la chin cha che po chi chag mare kai sana te mai mene mo ko long jo ya mare sai chin kor ten do chin pa chag
so but this explanation here which is his word was mainly to describe what is to be understood by somebody who has very great desire. And he said, if, for example, in the fashion of the Vajrayana, mentally one creates all these palaces of different deities ordained with all beautiful things, but then one will not, so to speak, fall into the folds of those people, because this is just imagined.
Nea, Kansa, Nanjur Pata, Nanjur Matopan Chudin Chana, Setan Sadola, Chepa Meva. Ser, Chere.
Ser gold.
Sado Kale.
Sado.
Sadato.
Stones.
Oh, Setan Dola, Chepa Meva, you know you were into. Te young Nanjur Pata, Nanjur Maranga Topare, then a Shambhaka Juli, Hijan Kandoma, Negamas here. Negamala, Rupto chumpo nanjir paka ser korba kapso, ser te hingna se na tor yawari. Tene chumpo nanjir o te nga ser te ta tor song te pala ro samdu, tene reta so ser de tro so yene, chowo ta so ser je chomba pa tro ne tembar esi. Te tanda negema la ser tang do la chepa mewa, rang la tokpa yobe chun se chere. Yang naro pa la marpa lo sa ke ser karyor kan pavare, Tene yang kunchon chuson ni khingna se na tor yaware. Tene marpa lo chawa puni ser thobya kale khakbo do ta te ser thola dozo sambi. Tene naro pe khyab salada do da re kanka ser le dozo. Tene rabu lokso te kare. Nanjur man nega mata. Nanjur pa naro pa ser tang sato la chepa yo mare. Seta sato la chepa mepe.
And accomplish yogi or yogini, then would reach a realization where, so to speak, whether there is, so to speak, something is gold or it is just a stone, would just be dependent on one's vision. And then would you say, or in other words, that it would be considered as being the same. Not this difference of something being precious and something being unprecious. And there are examples that, for example, the great yogini Niguma, when she was offered by somebody a large lump of gold, she just threw it into the forest. And that person who offered was he thought this was not exactly what should be done with this and was quite, he didn't like it. and so she just stamped her foot and so the whole region was golden. And the same is true, the story when Marpa, he went through so great pains to collect gold and then offered it to Naropa and he just threw it into the forest. And Marpa was quite upset, thinking of all the pain he had gone through to collect this. And Naropa just did something and the whole forest turned golden. So these stories show that for somebody with this kind of realization, then stone and gold is the same thing. And what is seen or what they, so to speak, perceive is just dependent on their own viewpoint.
Deer. Shabha chika amchola, then he said chikta na, ko chipo yo mara yu yu shan ko dunga kita zogare, gago mara. Ma, te kare yin se na, ko ser kintu ki kaya yu mara, chagado, amcho chagado. Ma chika amchola ser ta na, ser ti jo chenpo re, yakpo yin sabo namdo yore, chana yang chipo yore. Amcho chana yang chipo yore. Te namdo la ra lebara mato.
And also, which he says, as far as the essence is concerned, or the true nature, then anyway, there's no difference in between gold or stones. And also, it depends totally upon one's own kind of concept, how to, so to speak, view that. And Rinpoche said, for example, if one puts a heavy golden earring into the ear of a deer, it would just shake its head and wouldn't like it.
Chembu.
Chembu.
Chembu tang.
Yeah, a big one. Then, for human beings to have that dangling in their ears, totally different. Many like it. And so it's completely dependent on one's viewpoint, how one views that.
The end of it, huh? Simjin says, Sidney, you told me. Dene sanju sambata samana mingi jenbi senjin namla si jen chakwe deda ke don drop gupe sena seden sanju sambata nam nintu ta ranja yendo hewa so chikla yang lungamare mingi topji hewa la lungamare.
And so the bodhisattvas, then on one hand, they have left behind the extreme of existence and are not bound to that, because they've given up all attachment to the existence of the self, but then on the other hand, they do not cherish the self anymore, but they cherish all sentient beings and have developed this great love and compassion, which makes them wish not to forsake sentient beings. And with that, by means of this compassion, then they also do not fall into the extreme of seeking a nirvana as do the Sravakas and Pratika Buddhas, which would just be peace or an individual one. So they also do not fall into that kind of extreme. And then to put this short, someone, male or female, who is a bodhisattva, then by means of the discriminative wisdom which realizes the non-existence of a self, they have left behind the extreme of existence. They are no longer bound to this extreme. But then on the other hand, since they have developed love and compassion for all sentient beings, they also do not fall into the extreme of a nirvana, which is mere peace. And so being freed from these two extremes, they are beyond the extremes of samsara and nirvana. And so, having developed these two means which will result in total enlightenment, which are, and having relied on these means, which are the understanding realizing the non-existence of a self, or the understanding realizing as things that really are, and compassionate love, then the noble ones, those who have reached the bodhisattva levels, do not abide in samsara, neither do they abide in a limited nirvana in terms of peace. So they've gone beyond these two extremes by means of these means. And so the next two lines, next two verses explain the fourth point or topic, which is the function of the Buddha nature being present. And that is explained in two ways. First, one can say the function is shown by means of the contrary. And that verse is, if the Buddha element were not present, there would be no sorrow and remorse over suffering. There would be no wish for nirvana, no striving and devotion towards this aim. And so here, one can say, the presence of the Buddha nature is proven by showing or stating that or kind of imagining what would be the case if the Buddha nature or the Buddha element was not present within beings. And then Rinpoche said, as a reaction to samsara, there would be no revulsion towards it. There would be no remorse, and there would be no wish to reach freedom from the suffering of samsara and go beyond it. And there would be no kind of thinking, if only I attained this kind of freedom from suffering. And there would also be no willingness to apply the means by which this can be achieved. So if beings did not have Buddha nature, then their skandhas, their elements, and their ayatanas would consist of nothing than impermanence and suffering. There would be nothing else. And so then there would not be the slightest reason to have any remorse over suffering, because there couldn't be anything else, and there wouldn't be the slightest reason to have any wish to attain a state which would be beyond this.
And so the
next in with the next verse, then the function is explained in terms of this disposition to Buddhahood that all beings have for the Buddha nature has a certain power, and this is shown by means of deduction. And the verse is the fact that with regard to existence and nirvana, their respective fault and quality are seen, that suffering is seen to be the fault of existence and happiness to be the quality of nirvana, stems from the presence of the disposition to Buddhahood. Why is this? In those in whom the disposition is not present, this seeing does not occur. And so here it explains that there are beings who can see that samsara has a fault and that nirvana, on the other hand, has a quality. They can see that samsara has the fault of suffering, and as a consequence they will develop remorse over this suffering and the wish to free oneself from it. And on the other hand, they can see that nirvana has the quality of peace, and on the basis of this will develop the wish to attain this state of peace. And since they are beings who have this kind of reaction and can see this fault and quality respectively, this proves that the Buddha nature, or in other words, the disposition to Buddhahood, is present within beings.
Jejur je reg ma se batala tenda wo yo mare. Tang Koba la Chu Nyande, Tom Jo de Lo Cheon, Jejer Jerek Seyore. Then Koba la Chun Konde Chichun Matonga so Jejer Jerek Masebare. Rangin Nerek Tang Jejer, the Regma, but the Jejer Jerek Masebare.
And so this last line, which is it, which says in those in whom, here literally it says in those in whom the disposition is not present, this saying does not occur. So that needs some explanation in that it is impossible. So as if when one speaks of the disposition to put out, then different kinds are distinguished. And so one is, for example, the disposition which is by nature present or naturally present. And it is impossible that any being does not have this kind of disposition. But then a certain, so to speak, aspect or quality is that one speaks of the unawakened or the awakened disposition. That is the aspect that this power or ability of the disposition is developed or unfolded. And that unfolded aspect can be awakened or unawakened. And here saying, beings in whom the disposition is not present refers to beings in whom the second aspect, the disposition which is expanded or developed, is not awakened.
ta jejo jere rangi nere da jejo jere ni de chotang jangar mi chepan da wo chote chue rangi tang wo ne chi ba le te sabo zu ja pa ti lo ngar mo jam yang khe bo jang re chue rangi ti kwa yin ba le ya ro de da wo re rangi nere da jejo jere de mo su ya po ko to ko do rangi nere chotang ta wo
And in order, Rinpoche said, to understand those two, one can say, aspects of disposition to Buddhahood, then this aspect of disposition which is naturally present within beings, that is actually nothing other than the Buddha nature. And this can be compared to pure water. Then the other aspect, whether the disposition is awakened or unawakened, or whether it is completely unfolded, then that can be likened to the case that water is taken and warmed up and made hot, and sugar being put in, and tea. And then, of course, the nature of the water is the same, but it has become more delicious.
And
so, when there are beings who are not very frightened by samsara and who don't have really remorse over samsara and do not wish for the attainment of nirvana, this is a sign then that in those beings the naturally present disposition is there, but the aspect that of the disposition that needs to be unfolded is not awakened. Whereas on the contrary, if we are sitting here because we have remorse with the suffering of samsara and we really want to apply the means to attain liberation, if we're sitting here and saying, oh, I want to attain nirvana and liberation, this is a sign that within us this disposition has awakened.
Sir Zambon Raore, Jejo Jerek de
Sorry, and another example is gold. When one takes pure gold and makes an ornament or a statue, nature is the same, but it has become more beautiful.
Yes.
So now we've finished four topics of this tenfold presentation. Yesterday we did the essence and the cause, and today the fruit and the function. The disposition of the three merits of my wants is the object of perception of those who see. Existence.
in the true state which is completely indivisible. Activity is spontaneous and yet completely free from thought, constituting that which is to be realized. Realization is attributes and that which causes realization. The first of these points in their given sequence is the cause to be purified. The other three are conditions. The Gaia of the perfect Buddha is all embracing. The suchness is undifferentiated, and all beings have the disposition. Therefore, they always have Buddha nature. It should be understood that the intention of the following points is to describe the meaning of the absolute expanse essence cause through function in realm and manifestation phases all pervasive. Such unchangingness and inseparability of the qualities, just as a jewel of the sky and water are pure, it is by nature always free from the mental poisons. Realization arises from devotion to a process from highest discriminative wisdom, samadhi, and compassion. Since the Dhammakaya has power, since the suchness does not change into something else, and since the disposition is the nature which has a moistening quality, these three aspects have properties which correspond to those of a school across the sky and the water. Hostility towards the Dharma, a view which asserts the existence of a self, fear of the self, a grief of samsara, and unconcern about the welfare of beings, are the foretells of those who have made desire of the Tirthikas, the Shravakas, and the Prajna Buddhas. Which purifies these veils consists of the four qualities of the path, which are outstanding devotion and so forth. Those who seek his devotion towards the supreme vehicle, whose power is discriminative wisdom, which generates the qualities of the Buddha, whose abode is the womb of the happiness of meditative stability. And whose nanny is compassion, our children born to succeed the Muni. The fruit is the perfection of the qualities, purity, self-happiness, and permanence, weariness of suffering, longing to attain peace, and devotion towards this thing on the function. Speaking, the fruit of these purifying causes is fully divided into the remedies for the antidotes, which in their turn counteract the four aspects of wrong beliefs with regard to the Dhammakaya. Their discriminative wisdom has got all self-direction without exception. Yet cherishing beings, those of compassion and love, will not attain the state of mere relying on understanding and compassion and love, the means to enlightenment. The noble ones will not abide in samsara, in the limited nirvana. If the Buddha and were not present, there would be more sorrow and remorse over suffering. There would be no wish for nirvana, no striving and devotion towards the same. With regard to existence and nirvana, their respective fault and quality are seen. The suffering is seen to be the fault of existence, and happiness to be the quality of nirvana. Stems from the presence of the disposition to Buddha. But why is this? In those in whom the disposition is not present, this seeing does not.
And
tomorrow, Kambuchi will explain the next two topics, which are endowment and manifestation.
In the Shentong tradition, the basic nature of mind is described as being great clear light. When one is singing a song, one should rest one's mind in the great clear light and sing the song. And one can also sing the song in order to come to rest in the great clear light. In a radiant clarity. And while singing in this lucid, radiant, shimmering state, then one will experience the song as being sound and emptiness inseparable. In the Vajrayana tradition, one meditates while performing pujas. So one combines the singing of the puja with meditation. And the way to do that is meditating as just described. We'll sing a song of the three names. In order to practice the Dharma, it is important to meditate on impermanence. And in this context, Milarepa has sung a song to the merchant named Dawanorbu, where he sung of the eight things to remember.
From the largest stars, you surround yourself with the manor and his rounds. But when your time to go has come, you have to leave.
re kong chong bong re jipu do tene ngoma mataba ya bu tengge yo ma re tene mataba tene ye je chor je mataba te tenba la tende te chong bong dawa no uya chupa ya kuji chaba chupa ya kuji song
This song on the eight things to remember was sung to the merchant Dawa Norgo, who had a very good and prosperous life, and he had not really been aware of impermanence before that. He had not been thinking of it, was not remembering it, but through this song, The Eight Things to Remember, he became
good teacher of the Dharma.
In the Buddhist tradition, the meditation on impermanence plays an extremely important role in one's development. In the beginning, it enables you to enter the practice of the Dharma and begin it properly. Along the way, as one is proceeding along the path, it enables one to practice with diligence. And towards the end, when one is reaching old age, it enables one to completely perfect the practice.
Tene meta pa ten sor mada wa mangbo ye pa nang ni kam der mala re pe song pa tene je de ten sor ha jang ya bo ye re de tingo meta pa de ten da wo tingo.
There are many methods for remembering impermanence. There are extremely great number of methods provided, but these eight methods provided by Milarepa here are particularly effective.
Tene matapa te zambaleng gyarpo tang sinzin da si yin yang ting gogre supo yin yang ting gogre orpo yin yang ting gogre tene matapa te yunga na kanga hipa yun
When it comes to remembering impermanence, this is something that one must do, whether one is belongs to a royal family or is a president or minister, whether one is rich or poor, no matter what one's status in life, one needs to call impermanence. The practice of impermanence is the same for all, no matter what your status in life. And therefore, one should recollect impermanence again and again. By remembering impermanence well, one will be able to get beyond impermanence, to transcend impermanence, and arrive at genuine reality.
Matapa madeba tsindela dembar hinte dena, dene matapa lendepe tonta betemba totuguma.
If you are attached, if you on the contrary are just attached to this and just live your life within the attachments at this pleasure system towards, without giving impermanence a thought, then one will not be able to realize the reality which is beyond impermanence.
Tene matapa yapo tena tensor je de yapo tena jekpa chembo je chomu kapso jikta me pacha kare pao cha lui
by recalling impermanence one will be able to overcome the eight great fears and become fearless like a hero
tene mata pate madina mata baje de song kapso donga chimbu yungri nyami chimbu yungri tene no shogri no go bacha gre
if one does not remember impermanence then when one comes to the end of this life one will be overtaken by the fact of impermanence one will be shaken by it one will weep and wail
te matapa ya potina ponta betemba tona matapa je de sum kapso dikta yo mare tunga yo mare tini gemo gemo tanda
On the other hand, if one keeps impermanence well in mind and considers it from the point of view of these eight perspectives on impermanence that are presented here, then when one comes to the end of one's life, instead of being disturbed, one will be happy, one will be laughing.
laughing.
One will be able to experience that joy which Gursampa refers to in the Song of the Seven Delights, where he speaks of even when the mind forsakes the body, sheer delight.
Yeah, you can get it.